You know, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we have a special guest with us here today. We have Dave, who is an Alliance worker from around the world. Because we are live streaming and there's some sensitivities as far as a Creative Access Nation that is represented, we're having to be a bit more discreet on the things that we can communicate here this morning, so I want you to be aware of that. But Dave is here today. He's joining us, and we're looking forward to having him share. So at this time, Dave, if you want to come, and I would say give him a hand, but it'd probably be a little bit awkward there in your home. So we have a few people giving a hand. Good to see you, Dave.
Good morning, church. This is certainly an unusual practice for me, a first time to be sure, but I am grateful for the privilege that we have of gathering together in this online format. I have to confess, I'm more than a little bit disappointed to not see all of you in person. This year that we are back in the U.S., one of the highlights for us are these stops at various churches, connecting with various families, friends, moms, dads, uncles and aunts, people that we've known for many years, people who have supported us and walked alongside our family. It is difficult to not be able to see each of you in person. But my disappointment is certainly tempered by the reality that we are part of a much bigger family. This morning, as we gather online here, around the world, there are 22,000 Alliance churches, 6 million believers who have in one form or another been singing Hosanna, as Pastor mentioned. This is a reality that we need to remind ourselves in this time of what is true. You and I are part of a much bigger family called the Alliance. And here in the West, the way that we deal with these difficult days is very different than our dear brothers and sisters in places like Africa and India, the stories that we hear from all around the world. We are blessed. And my prayer is that during these times, the heat of this crisis will be a forging heat and not a melting heat, that it will make us stronger. The Alliance family around the world is a tremendous blessing. And I pray that this morning, you, in whatever place you are watching this, will be blessed. I'm glad to be part of the Alliance family, and I'm grateful that I'm also part of an earthly family. They're here with me this morning. You'll see them a little later, but let me introduce them to you real quickly. My wife, Deb, is my middle school sweetheart. We have been married now for over 15 years. And God has given us in those years 3 mostly wonderful children. We are so grateful that God has allowed our whole family to be part of this journey. Samuel is our 11-year-old sixth grader. Titus is our 10-year-old fourth grader. And I want you to just look at the picture for a moment and see if you can tell anything about the character and the spunk of our 6-year-old first grader. Her name is Anna. And this year, we have been based here in Colorado, and it has been a privilege to be back in the U.S. as a family, visiting churches and sharing about what God is doing in our context overseas. I'm so thankful for my family, and I show you this picture as we begin so that you understand that God does not just call moms and dads into his service, but he calls whole families. And I want to thank you on behalf of my family for the way that you have sent us 9 years ago in 2011 when we first went overseas. But you understand that to send is not a past perfect verb. It's not one and done. It is a present continuous, and you have continued to send us for years. Thank you for standing with our family. I'm also a part of another amazing family called a team. And my team, I'm so proud of them. I want to introduce you to them as well. This is the team of 10 adults and 11 adults and 10 children. If you add my family in, it's a perfect 13 and 13. But this is the team that's on the ground overseas right now. I would ask you to be in prayer for them. They're enduring the same lockdown, the same state of emergency, the same forced creativity, how to continue to connect with people. And I'm so proud of this team for the way that they have responded. The reports that we are getting from our context are that sometimes darkness causes people to seek light in a new way that in some instances we haven't seen for 9 years in this location. God is opening hearts and opening doors, and our team is there to respond. I'm so proud of them, and I would ask you to keep praying for them and all of the Alliance workers all over the world who are responding at this time of crisis. Thank you on behalf of my team for the way that you as a church body have continued to support the Great Commission Fund. We would not be able to be where we are serving the people that we do without your kindness, your generosity, your support, and your faithfulness. On behalf of my team, thank you. What I'd like to do this morning is take a moment and instead of zooming in with tunnel vision on our exact ministry, I want to zoom out a bit and take a 30,000-foot view at a missions message for you. The theme that we have been sharing all throughout this year in every church that we visit is that you and I, brother and sister, have been called to regions beyond. This is the message that we're speaking in all the churches, that we have been called to be a people on the move, a people who get up and who go, a people who initiate, a people who carry a message. And we have not been called to stay in one place. We have been called to be the ones who move to regions beyond. There's a verse. If you have a Bible with you, I would invite you to get that Bible out and turn to John chapter 10. Get your device and scroll over there. John chapter 10, verse 16. I'd like you to read along with me as I read that verse for you. John chapter 10, verse 16 says this, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." This is the theme verse that is the anchor to create this idea of being called to regions beyond. But there's a subtle danger anytime a preacher stands in front of you and picks one verse and says, this is the way that we've created this message. You can take a verse and make it mean pretty much anything you want it to mean. And so we want to be very careful. Anytime we have one verse, we want to plant it in the context of the story in which this is taking place. And so this story actually begins not in John chapter 10, but all the way back a chapter earlier in John chapter 9. And so if you would turn one page over to the left in John chapter 9, there's a phenomenal story about our powerful Savior, Jesus, who performs a healing miracle. I won't read the whole story, but let me give you the highlights of John chapter 9. As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus decided to show his power as a healer. And so we read this amazing story in verse 6. I wish I could have seen some of these amazing healing stories. They're all different. Jesus comes and meets people in unique ways and demonstrates his power in unique ways. In this story, Jesus spit on some ground, made some mud with the saliva, and then put this paste on the man's eyes. And what happened? Oh, it gives me goosebumps to say. The man says, I can see. Jesus said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. You would think that those who heard this story would have been amazed and excited and overjoyed that this healer had come to their presence. But the exact opposite happened. The rest of chapter 9, it reads like this bad sitcom of people investigating and stories and rumors and questions. And the people who were the most upset were the religious insiders, the power brokers of the religious community, the Pharisees. And they began to interrogate this man. And ultimately, their decision was to throw him out of their community. And so, in verse 34, we read, they threw him out. He's done. No longer welcome as part of the religious insider community. And our good Lord Jesus, he heard in verse 35 that they had thrown him out. And when Jesus found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And this man who had had his physical eyes open said, "Yes, who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus in verse 37 says, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And this, in John chapter 9, is the second healing that this man has received. The first healing had to do with his physical eyes. Born blind, didn't work from birth. But the second healing, the more significant healing, I would submit to you, was the one that took place with his heart. Opening the eyes of his heart so that he could see who Jesus was. And he believed and he worshiped. Again, the Pharisees were convicted by this healing. And they began to ask again, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus levels them with this accusation in verse 41, saying, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But you claim you can see, so your guilt remains." Jesus looked at the religious leaders of the day and said, "You are blind. Your physical eyes work well, but your spiritual eyes are the ones that are broken." And they had never sought Jesus for the healing of their spiritual eyes. In my Bible now, there is a division. Now we start John chapter 10, but I would argue to you that this is a continuation of the same conversation. Because then in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees." He's continuing to speak to the religious insiders. And he sets up in John chapter 10 this amazing image. He says that he is the good shepherd. He says that he is literally the gate through which the sheep enter. He talks about how the sheep know his voice. It's an amazing contrast to the Pharisees who were spiritually blind. Jesus is setting up this reality that he sees people, he cares for people, and he provides for people. And so we get to verse 14. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." And then, finally, after all of this has happened, we get to verse 16. And Jesus says to those religious insiders gathered who were so proud of their ethnicity, they were doing everything right. They're proud of their morality, doing things right. Their ethnicity, they're born in the right place. These people who are so proud, Jesus says to them, "You need to understand, I have sheep that are not of this fold. I must go to them. I must go to them." The heart of Jesus says that it's not a club that you belong to based on anything that you do. It's something that you belong to because he has invited you, he has found you, he has sought you out, and he has paid the price. It's in this context that I want to share with you the idea that we've been called to move to regions beyond. And as we unpack this today, I want to share with you three P's that will help us to understand the greater work of the Alliance all around the world. I want you to understand the passion. Why is it that we do what we do in the Alliance? The passion determines the placement. Where are we currently looking to serve? And this placement determines the priorities. What do we do when we arrive in these places? So if you would, let's look at these three P's together. First, the passion. I want you to understand that since the founding of our movement, the Christian Missionary Alliance has rallied to go to regions beyond. This is the heartbeat of Jesus, and I believe the healthy heartbeat of the Christian and Missionary Alliance as well. We are not content to simply receive the good news of the message of the gospel and hoard it to ourselves, but instead we choose to take that message to those who have never heard. And I want you to understand that today there are more than 3 billion sheep all around the world where they're living in places where there is little or no chance to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We have a passion to be used by God to make a difference in this. If you were to look at this on a chart, you would understand there's 4,000 people groups all around the world never had an opportunity to understand the good news of the gospel. The reality that Jesus came, he sees them, he cares for them. That Jesus died for them, but he did not stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he reigns on high. The good news, the simple message of the gospel, they have never heard. And so you and I, who have been so privileged to, at some point in the history of our lives, maybe our ancestors or directly to us, who have heard the message of the gospel, our passion is to do something about those 4,000 people groups who have never had opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel. This passion drives us to a specific place. You see, we do not just throw a dart at the wall and say, that sounds exotic, let's go to that place. The Alliance is incredibly strategic about where we are sending workers. This passion to share the good news of Jesus with those who have never heard determines the placement. If you were to take those 4,000 people groups and you were to plot them on a map, all of the red people groups who have never heard the good news of the message of the gospel would be on the map that you can see on the screen right now. There's a particular concentration that you can see, and I want you to understand that today, 80% of Alliance workers who are being sent out are going directly to the places with the greatest concentration of groups who have never heard the good news of the gospel. This is where my family was sent 9 years ago. This is where many Alliance workers are today, giving hope in the midst of difficult days. If you've been following the news at all for the past, I don't know how many years, you will look at this map and you will understand what types of people we encounter in this specific quadrant. I would characterize these people as highly vulnerable for a variety of reasons. These countries of the world are marked by tremendous long-standing conflict, crippling poverty, religious regimes and governmental regimes that keep people under tight control. Most of these places highly antagonistic to the message of the gospel. These are not places that are arms wide welcoming a preacher, pastor, missionary type. In fact, many of them would want to hold somebody like that at arm's length. And so we have a choice to make when we encounter that reality. We can either lean back and stay away from these places, or we can ask the maker of the universe to fill us with the heartbeat of Jesus, which leans in. And I remember in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus saw crowds of people, he did not lean back and stay away, but he moved towards them with compassion. He felt something, the Greek word splachna, from the gut. He felt something for people because he knew that they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a what? Without a shepherd. And the heartbeat of the shepherd is to feel compassion. I added a lot of other versions of those words, helpless and harassed. They were antagonized and distressed, dispirited and weary, scattered and dejected, worn out and wondering, bewildered and cast aside. When Jesus sees people who are struggling like that, he has compassion for them, and that drives him to move towards them, to see them, and to care for them. So the passion is for those who are lost. This determines the placement. But then what are the priorities? What is it that we do when we arrive in these places? I would suggest to you that because these people groups are highly antagonistic to the gospel, we do not approach first as preacher, pastor, missionary type because they're not welcoming to that. But there is no community on earth that will reject somebody who approaches first as a servant. And so we choose, as alliance workers around the world, to approach first as a servant. I believe this also is the heartbeat of Jesus. He said he did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom. And so the three priorities that shape a healthy, holistic understanding of missions that drive us in everything we do are these three. We want to serve the communities where God has called us. We want to see an expanding network and multiplication of churches. And we want to be all about developing people in everything that we do. I'm not going to share specific stories about our context today, but in general, let me give you some examples of how these play out in our context. When we first arrived 9 years ago in our location, we decided that we needed to take a servant approach first. And so we began to listen to the community where we were. The corner store owner shared with us that he wanted his sons to learn English. And so we decided, even though that was never the dream to be an English teacher, that we would answer the felt need of the community. And so we began to serve by being English teachers. To this day, I have a grumbling, complaining spirit just about every time that I'm headed down to our English Learning Center to teach an English class. But I will tell you this, I will do anything that enables me to connect with the community in a way that meets a felt need. Why? Because that follows the example that Jesus set. And when we serve, we earn the trust and we earn the listening ear of the community around us. Brother and sister, as you're watching this today, I would ask you to consider, how does your community need you to serve it today? May we, the church, be asking that question now more than ever. What does your community need you to be in order to serve? Our second priority is to multiply church networks. In our context, this looks much like a house church, inviting people over to our home for a meal, opening scripture together. I wish I could tell you that it has been explosive growth, but it has been slow. It has been difficult. It has been painful at times. God is at work in our context, though. And as I shared earlier today, the report from my team is that there are those who have for years been antagonistic to the gospel who have a new sense of openness, a new sense of willingness to listen. And I celebrate that. It does indeed take darkness for people to seek out the light. We would love to see a growing network of these house churches, these communities of faith, because we believe that that is how the gospel of Jesus will advance in our context. Our third priority is to develop people in everything that we do. We understand that as outsiders, we are coming in to a context with the good news of the message of the gospel. But our goal is then to raise up insiders who can run with the ministry in the days ahead. They will always be more effective than we will be as outsiders. And so our goal is to develop, to disciple, to train, to equip, to empower, to release people with the ministry of the gospel in our context. One of the most amazing ways that our team is doing that overseas is through a program called the Leadership Institute. In this program, we have seen so many amazing conversations, deeper than just teaching English, but talking about heart level, pain, confusion, shame, frustration. And when we get to talk with people at that level, it's incredible because they start to ask questions about who this Jesus is. My wife had an amazing opportunity to walk with a young woman through a very painful process of separation from her husband. this lady had felt tremendous shame in so many different ways. And Deb had the chance to share with this young woman that there is a Creator who loves you, who sees you, who cares for you, speaking hope and healing to this wounded heart. Everything that we do is about developing people in the Alliance because we want to hand off the baton well so that they can run with the ministry in their local context. As I close this morning, I want to ask you to consider some practical ways that you could respond. And I want to use a specific word today, this word engage. I want to ask you to consider what it would mean for you to engage. The first one is a personal question. Would you be willing to engage personally during these days when all of us have had life turned upside down? Would you take some moments later this afternoon in the quiet of your home, out on a walk in some place, and would you pray this simple three-word prayer? Open my eyes. The problem in many churches that I've visited this year is I'm convinced all of us have eyes that are still working okay, but there are many, many people who have never had the healing that they need from Jesus to have their heart eyes opened. I'm not talking about praying a prayer that he would open these eyes. I'm talking about the heart eyes that the religious insiders of Jesus' day had never had opened. May it not be true of you or me. Would you pray this prayer and then would you watch out? Because when he opens your eyes and you begin to see your community, then I know he's calling you to engage locally. Engage personally, one, but engage locally, number two. And I just keep thinking of this word, invite, invite, invite. This is an awkward one in days of social distancing, but I want to challenge you to remember that social distancing does not mean social disengagement. Isolation is not the call right now. I'm challenging you to live a life of invitation, of initiation, of incarnation. Would you be a people who think creatively about what it means to connect with the community where God has planted you? I saw an advertisement from Hallmark we received this week with a couple of free greeting cards. And Hallmark had challenged people to write notes of encouragement during these difficult days. Church, may we not allow Hallmark to be the leader on engaging with our communities. We are the ones who are called to go to regions beyond. Would you consider a way to swim upstream and live a life of invitation? Would you make a list to call people and check in? Would you write more notes than you have before? Would you pray more fervently for your neighborhood than you have before? This is a time when we will either be crushed or we will become creative. And I would pray that you would consider what it means to be creative, to show love to your community where God has planted you. This, I believe, is the heartbeat of Jesus. Number three, would you engage globally with what God is doing through the Christian Missionary Alliance around the world? As part of the Alliance family, I plead with you to be a people of prayer. For those of you who are not here this morning, I want to let you know I've left a stack of prayer cards for you to pick up at some point in the future. Would you take one of these and put them on your refrigerator, on your bathroom mirror, in your Bible, in your car, someplace where you would remember to pray for our family? Would you pray? The founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, said many years ago that prayer is the mighty engine that is to move the missionary work. When God's people pray, we have seen over and over and over again that obstacles that were immovable to us in our human power, there was no genius strategy or no big budget that could help move an obstacle. When God's people prayed, they were destroyed. We have seen God move in phenomenal ways as God's people pray. Would you be a people who pray? I want to ask you also to be a people who continue to sacrificially give. My heart response during this time has been to feel like I want to constrict, to hoard, to keep for myself, to protect. And I'm calling you to do the exact opposite. Would you be a people who consider what it means to even incrementally increase the way that you sacrifice during these days? Would you be generous? I don't ask that because we are not well cared for. We are very well cared for. But what I want you to understand is that your giving to the Great Commission Fund and the Christian and Missionary Alliance allows more workers to be sent in the days ahead. Jesus, after we read that he had compassion on the crowds, the next verse, he gave us a simple math equation, and he said this: the harvest is greater than the number of workers. And so I would ask you, if you are currently at a zero, would you consider what it means to bump it up to a one? If you're at an eight, would you think about a nine? I'm asking you, unashamedly looking you in the eye and saying, would you sacrificially increase the level of giving in a time when everybody is screaming to protect and to preserve and to constrict? I'm asking you to consider the very opposite. Would you be a people who sacrificially give, trusting that he will provide? These last couple of challenges are increasingly difficult in these days, but I want to ask you to consider what it means to be a people who go and a people who send. The people who go means that I want you to think about what it means to be a people who are willing to cross the street in some way, making a phone call, sending a note, considering what it means to check in on a neighbor. My family has gone across the ocean simply to allow us to cross the street in that context. That is what Jesus is calling each of us to do. Wherever he has planted you, would you be a people who go? We do not hoard this message to ourselves, but we take this message and we share it with others. Would you also be a people who send? This is the developmental side of the Alliance that I'm so proud of. Church, would you continue to raise up your young ones so that they have a heart for the world and are willing to be sent out on mission? Statistics tell us that many young people today growing up in the church will one day walk out the door of the church with their heads hung low, disappointed, frustrated, cynical. And may that never be true of this church family. I would challenge you to raise up that next generation so that they don't walk out the door, but they run out the door on mission, understanding that God has called them to be salt and light in a world that is hurting and desperately needs to hear the good news of the gospel. Church, would you raise up your own to be sent out into the world? I know that none of these three engagement responses are possible in our own human strength. And so I want to close by asking the powerful Spirit of God to fill us afresh for these unprecedented days, that we would understand that he is with us and that he is helping us. Would you bow and would you pray with me? Father, today we come before you with a spirit of humility, acknowledging now more than ever, that we are not in control. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are on your throne. And I pray that in our moments of fear or anxiety, that you would meet us with the perfect love that you demonstrated on the cross. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that you are helping us during these days. And I ask that you would continue to lead us out in new creative ways to be a blessing to the communities right where we have been planted. Father, would we use the days and the time that you have given us to be a blessing to others with love and with the good news of the message of Jesus? We acknowledge that none of this is possible without the help of the Spirit. And so we invite you, Spirit of God, to fill us afresh, to move powerfully within us first. I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see the communities that you have called us to. And as you open our eyes, I pray that you would help us to engage. I thank you for this amazing family called the Alliance that we're part of. I thank you for the 22,000 church fellowships all around the world, the 6 million believers who are part of this family. I pray your blessing on each one. For those who are struggling, I pray that you would be their provider, their healer. I thank you that you love and that you care. And we commit ourselves afresh to you and ask on behalf of this whole family, Jesus, come quickly. Would you rule and reign in our hearts? We love you and we thank you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to invite Tim and my family now to come and join me up here on the stage for a time of prayer.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate your words. I know your words are a challenge and an encouragement to us all, especially during this season, we're not called to constrict, but we're called to be creative. I love what you said with us and shared that with us today. Well, we want to say a prayer for you all and ask Thank that you. The Lord's blessing would be upon you and that his grace would be sustaining you during this time, and as you look forward to whenever the next step as far as getting back, that the Lord would just make those that way very clear. So, folks, let's join together in prayer and just pray for the Featherlands right now. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Dave, and we thank you for Deb and the kids here. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. We pray that you would guide them, that you would sustain them and strengthen them. Lord, that you would just prepare the way, Lord, as they get ready to go back to the field, that, Lord, you would make that way clear. And, Lord, we pray for your direction through that process. We pray for the team. We pray that you'd strengthen them, particularly during this time as they're hunkering down in their homes, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them. We pray for our missionaries around this world in the Alliance, that you would bless them, that you would anoint them, protect them, and may your grace sustain them during this time. And Lord, likewise, we here in Colorado Springs and throughout this country, Lord, that we would be obedient to your call and your purpose in our lives, that we would be faithful to what it is you've put before us, and Lord, that we would be sensitive to your leading, how we might be engaged in your mission around this world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys so much for coming today. It's such an encouragement. Blessings to you. Well, Clay House, we want to just thank you for tuning in today, and it's been a joy to be in your home here today. Once again, we want to encourage you to join us this Friday as we have our Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, we also have our service at 10 o'clock on live stream on Facebook. We want to invite you to tune in. But as we come into this Holy Week, let's be in prayer about how God would use us not to come within ourselves and constrict, but to be creative in the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, really, this is a dark time in the world around us, but we have the light of Jesus Christ. And as David mentioned earlier, there's an attraction that people have to light when they've been living in the darkness for a long time. And so we want to just pray that God would enable us to be the light, to not hide our lamps under a bushel, but to put it on its stand. And I want to just encourage you and challenge you that way. Thank you for tuning in today. We'll look forward to seeing you and being with you this Friday. God bless you.